Eric, would you tell us the story of Car?
What story you brought?
How he came to Baba. Bukhar is the one in the movie who Baba is walking and sits on him.
Yeah, on his back.
On his back.
Yeah. Makes him a sort of a stool for him.
Yes.
After the accident, what happened? He would go out for a little stroll for his rehabilitation, you may call it. So he is taken to the parks, even in Guru Prasad, which has a long approach road, and there he would have strolls and all that. And in the beginning, actually, a distance, you see, of some yards, naturally would
get tired.
Make him feel tired. So he needs to rest, you see. Formerly, we used to carry his chair behind him. And he didn't like that idea. And he looks at Pukhar and says, well, you loved Ram, you see. And he considers himself to be the devotee of Ram, aspired for being the Hanuman of Ram, Pukhar, who was the foremost disciple of Ram. So Baba says, well, you be my Hanuman and give me the seat. So Pukhar had a big body and all that, and make him be on his fours, and Baba would sit on his back and just rest for a while, and then again like that. Yeah, he's that.
But originally he was a terrorist.
But originally what happened is that he was, at the time of the Britishers, one of the much wanted person, because he used to play havoc, you see, and incite people, because they were all freedom fighters, freedom for India. And naturally, the Britishers could not tolerate such sort of propaganda or such inciting speeches and all that. So they were clamped and put into prison. And they didn't realize that in the beginning. Then, after they had filled in some terms, they thought it best to go underground when they get out of it. So he was one of them who went underground and became a revolutionary. And not only that, but it seems that he became the leader of revolutionaries, the commander as he was known as. And the word Pukhar means the call. And he had that roar of a lion when he would stand before the public. That's Pukhar. Calling out, like that. So that's why his nickname is Pukhar, as Pukhar. Because he had that call to attention, all the people, you see, and whatever you would say, that they would naturally listen, and their hearts would be stirred. Stirred with what? Feelings against the Britishers. So that they'd be out, you see, out of the country. That's how it was. So it went on for years together, and so often he would be in prison, and well, he had to deal with weapons and he had to deal with many things which seemed to be undesirable for the government at that time. In 1947. Is it true? Yeah, it is 47, yeah. And in 1949, Baba launched the new life. So between the independence, the era of independence that India had just attained to, and new life, there was a gap of about a year and a half or 2 years. A year and a half. And because India is now independent, Pukhar is famous because of his activities, revolutionary activities. No longer he has any fear of being caught, of being ill-treated by the government and all that sort of thing, of being imprisoned. So he's a free man. Not only that, he deserves a pension from the government. Yeah, and he's in his full glory now. And people obeyed him. He became the leader of the people. He dabbled into politics and became a leader of the public, the sector of public. So, why he is that? All of a sudden, it seems that news come to his ears that there is some person from Bombay side who's called Mayor Baba, and he professes to be God in human form. People are, duped into believing, that's how he felt. They are being duped by him. And they are made to believe that he is a deity. which he didn't like. He being a leader, and he felt that there is another potential leader that is on the rise. So, well, if he is a leader, well and good, but then we don't mind, but then the one, he cannot tolerate the leader to be God himself, calling himself God and all that. So what had happened was that in 1954, you will notice that on the records it is in 1954, for the first time, Baba introduced himself to be the Ancient One, God in human form, the Avatar of the time. But here is 1949, and 48, 49, and already this has started percolating. Because those who were close ones, those who lived with him, he would pass such hints, and he is the one. Of course, it had not gone in the public yet, but those who lived with him, and the families of those who lived with him, they began to become aware of it. And so they would speak to their friends, and the friends would speak to their acquaintances, and the acquaintances would speak to the public, and so that's how it went out. Before he even introduced himself as the Avatar. Yeah. It is right from the very beginning it was. From the early 30s, 20s you may call it. Yeah, it was there. So that's how it was. Because in 1930, my mother himself told me that he's Zoroaster. Come again. So I said, so what if he's Zoroaster? What have I to do with it? It's like that. Yeah. So, Pukar was very much infuriated to hear this. These are just whispers coming to him. So he resolves to find out, to denounce him. And if it leads him to confront him and manhandle him, he would do it. And he didn't care even to take his life, because such a thing he could not tolerate, that if innocent people are being duped like this, yeah, it's no good for such persons to live here, because it's his country. Now, so he's after Mehr Baba. So how did he happen to be after Mehr Baba is that there was another person by name Baba Das, whose real name was Dharmare. From Nagpur he was. He was a political canvasser. You know, these political leaders who come and have their... they want to be elected and all that, so they need canvassers, isn't it? So he was the canvasser at the time of the elections and all that. So he used to work that way, and earn his livelihood. When Baba gave darshan in Nagpur at our place, at my parents' house, there he met Baba for the first time, this Dharmare. And he changed his routine of life and all that, and he dedicated himself to the service of Baba. Being a canvasser, he could work much in the public. You know, they have the art. They have to impress upon their own leader and all that and so forth. So here, in his heart of heart, he felt that here is the real one. And why shouldn't I go out to the public and inform the public that he is the one? So he used to go out like that and do that. Through his activities, Pukar heard the whispers. And when he heard the whispers, then he wanted to contact this person, because they told him so-and-so is speaking there in his own district. So he went and confronted him. So he said, yeah, he is that. He says, he is that? How do you say that he is that? He says, well, because he says so. So do you mean to say, because he says so, that you tell public like that and mislead them? Well, he was very arrogant with Baba Das and all that. So he said, if you want to see him personally, then you won't see it, say such things. That's what Baba Das said to him. He says, how am I to see? He says, no, he cannot be seen, because now, it is now 1949, past. Yeah, Baba has already set out a new life. He says, you can't see him. Now he is in his new life, and he is now leading a life of helplessness and hopelessness. Helplessness and hopelessness for God, who calls himself the Avatar of the time and all. What is this, sir? So then Baba Das, of course, was with a ready reply. Didn't Ram go out in exile? So, yeah. And he was Ram's bhakta, this Pukar. So said, yeah, he did go out. Then why didn't you tell Ram? Why did he go out like that, begging and all that? It's like that. It's their way of working and so forth. He says, but is there no opportunity for me to see? He says, yeah, there is one remote possibility that very soon there will be the greatest Kumbh Mela. Kumbh Mela is such an occasion, it is traditionally known, that once in 12 years, a mass congregation, it's a massive thing, of millions of people congregating at a place on the banks of the river Ganges, where the rivers are, the confluences, and so. And it is traditionally believed that once in 12 years, if you happen to go there and join that mass of people, not only, it is believed like that, that well, if you were to bathe on a certain day, your sins are all wiped off and you come out, it's like baptism, you follow. Mm. That is that tradition there. But how the tradition started was this, that never has there been an occasion when in such mass gathering, there is the absence of the Great One. So, whether he be the perfect one or the ancient one, it matters little. Because his presence is such that it's the presence of God himself. So that's the reason why people mass there and mass go there. Maybe they might come across him. Yeah, it's just taking a chance. And if they don't come across him, well, he may have had a dip in the river. The river is sanctified. If they have a dip in that river, our sins will be also washed away. You follow? That's how it's all there. With permutations and combinations, you have this feeling. And all rests on this imagination, as we were talking the other day. It's a happy imagination. So Baba Das took advantage of that and said, well, there's a remote possibility, but I should say that, well, if you want to have a look at him and see him from a distance, it is possible. So how is it possible? How can it be possible? Well, it says, at the time of Kumbh Mela, you know, when there is a mass gathering of millions of people, and if you want to pinpoint a certain person, you can't be in that crowd there. All that you have to stand out from the crowd. So it says, if you cross the river, and stand out on the other bank, then maybe there's a possibility of having a view of him. Otherwise, how is it possible? You follow what I'm saying? Is logic is true. It's quite logical. So he says, means you mean to say that on the bank of the river he will be there? He says, yeah, there's a possibility. In the meantime, what had happened is that Baba Das came to know that, you know, Shatrughna Kumar, in new life, we started going from one place to another, and when we went, we stationed at his farm, which is known now, at that time it was known as Manjri Mafi, but then it is now officially recorded and known as Meher Mafi. It's named after Meher Baba here. So, by the government. So, he came in contact and he came to know through Shatrughna that Shatrughna has made arrangement at a certain, what you call, terrace that has been taken up by his, was owned by his friend, Shatrughna's friend, and Baba and the women and the Mandali will be on the terrace to view this whole occasion instead of being inside the crowd. So he tried to get the address, Baba has got the address there. And immediately went and informed Pukar about it. Because it's near to that district, this place, Rishikesh, Haridwar. It was Haridwar. So Pukar said, yes, I'm sure to come. So he says, you have to cross the river and go on the other bank and see there. And then Pukar told him that he might be appearing there on the terrace there, and from a distance you can see him if you want to. That is the only possibility. He says, never mind, I will hazard that. So that's how, for the first time, he had a view of Baba from that distance. It's a long distance, and Ganges River is not a small river or rivulet as you call it, but it's a huge thing. But from there, he actually saw him as a dazzling figure there. Yeah. He says, so Baba Das, he tells Baba Das, he asked Baba Das, Baba Das was there, he says, is that the person there in that white that is you standing there? He says, yeah, that's the robe of the new life, that kafni as it is called. Yeah, he's the one. And he looks at him, looks at him. And somehow or other his heart felt that there is something in this man. Because thus far he could accept him. There is something in the man. And then he tells Baba that that was the first glimpse of Pukars of Baba. So then he tells Baba Das, will it be possible whenever the opportunity is afforded to us, is it possible for us to have a closed darshan of him, or interview, or anything? No interview in new life, he doesn't see anybody, or anything. It's not possible. He didn't know that Baba would make it possible exactly after a year. Because if you all know, if you go through the records, you'll find that for one day he stepped into old life. Mm-hmm. On 16th of October, 1950.
In
Mahabaleshwar. So well, Baba Das naturally was at that time in the circle. So he came to know about that and he informed Fukar. And then Fukar, there were many other colleagues of his who were also underground workers. Keshav Nigam was a prisoner. You know Keshav Nigam?
I just read his story.
Yeah. Where is it?
Isn't that in this one?
In the glow. Yeah. That is there. Mm. And there was another MLA at the time, member of the Legislative Assembly, for long many years. His name was Rawat. Shripad Sahib. So he was there also. So they were the invitees at that time. So he inquired, and they were all colleagues, you see, in prison at the time, you see. They knew. So they were followers of Baba. They had heard of Baba and they accepted him. Whereas Pukar is yet to accept Baba. He has not accepted him. But he has seen him from a distance. So what happened is this now, somehow or other Pukar tries to wangle his way into the assembly for that one day and get his admission there. So through these people who were very close to Baba, had come close to Baba, not they were not very close, but they were the new ones, you see. Yeah, just like the Westerners at the time, you see, and their eagerness and their enthusiasm, and Baba is slave to their love. So although Baba didn't want any outsiders or anything, but they had said so, so Baba said, all right, let him come. Bring him there with you. So that's how he got into that stable at that time. And that meeting for one day, he stayed for a few hours in from new life to old life in the stable of Aga Khan's place there. It's known as Aga Khan's stable there in Mahabaleshwar. It was known. Now, it had been given the name of Florence Hall. Now, some religious organization has taken it. I don't know how many years have passed by. So, in the stable, we are all assembled there on that appointed day on 16th October. And of course those new life companions are with Baba, and Baba is there. Baba has not come, and the stable is now. It's not a small thing. Aga Khan is a very well known figure if you have heard of his name. Yeah. It's a dynasty, you see. They are the heads of millions of people, followers. They have a following, religious following. He's the religious head. Aga Khan and his son and his son's son and all they are on the throne, you may call it. So Baba had assembled the people, invitees were there on that appointed time, and Baba walks inside the stable and had a gate like this corrugated sheet like a huge gate is there, but a very shabby looking, it's all in a dilapidated condition. With him, I don't know why, being the ancient one, he seems to be attached to dilapidated things, you see. It seems so to me, yeah. Huh? Pardon?
Lucky for us.
Yeah, it is lucky. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. So, we are all there squatting on the earth. This table means the earth, of course. Yeah. You can't have any marble paved things, you see, all this. So they are all there, and a rickety chair is put for him in a corner at the far end of this table. And he walks in with us. I was there, and others, two or three companions of New Life are there. All the companions are there, the 20 of them that were there. And we walk in. Baba walks in with a few of us, and we lead him to the chair, and he sits down. And doesn't sit down. He enters, And all of a sudden they were all seated. They had come a few minutes before, a half an hour or 15 minutes before, and they all stand up. So Baba just tell them to sit down. And the injunction was nobody should bow down, just they can fold their hands. So they folded their hands when they stood up, and Baba told them to sit down. And he takes a seat there. When he takes a seat there, he turns to me and says, asks me, have they all come? I can't count them, who were there and all that. So I look at them and I see the hall full. And I said, yeah, all have come because the time is up. Because they knew about the punctuality and all that. So I said, yeah, they have come. So then shut the gate. So he calls one of the other companions by name Vishnu. He remembered Vishnu this morning. You remembered, no, Vishnu? So Vishnu was there. So Vishnu is there. So he signals to Vishnu, shut the gate now. So poor Vishnu from nearby the street. It's a long distance, although it's a stable is a big one, longish thing. So he walks the distance and he goes to shut the gate. The two gates are to be brought together to lock them. And mind you, there is no such thing as window or anything on that stable. You see, we are all like horses stable there, you know. There is, of course, between the roof and the wall, there is that little ventilation, that's all. Just an opening, a gap. That was the only ventilation. So, and that was the thing through which the light filtered in. So while he's shutting the gate, to his notice comes Gustaji, who is an old companion of Baba. And being old of age, and he needs to peel many times, you see, frequently. So he was coming with his cord, you know, tying, you know, walking, and he's coming, you know. So just respect, but naturally he was our new life companion. Baba's very old companion, and he was with Baba from the time of Sai Baba and Upasnima. It's a matter of respect. We don't just do that, you see, immediately shut the gate when Gustaji is kept out like that. For such an important meeting here, Baba stepped into old life for one day from new life. Although Gustaji was a new life companion also. So he waits for him. So while he's waiting there, his back is turned to look at Gustaji and he's signaling to him to come soon. In the meantime, three persons dashed inside the stable. They had heard, they had seen people coming, you know, flocking to Mahabaleshwar, and they were all from different parts of India. Somebody had come from Pakistan and somebody from Bombay and somebody there, all UP and other places, and Mahabaleshwar is a place, a small place. It's a small hill station, hilly place. They came inside, they just rushed inside, and they had heard that Mir Baba is there. They had heard his name before, because Baba would be visiting Mahabaleshwar in the old life. So they had heard, and they said, it's a good opportunity, Mir Baba has come. So they rushed inside, and they went straight to the chair. Unawares are taken up, because I was there by his side. Baba said, I should know better, that they should not bow down. But before I could do anything, they fell at his feet, all three of them together. So Baba immediately gets up from his chair and bows down to them. They are embarrassed, and they bow down again, and Baba again bows down, and this goes on for 2-3 times. Then I get back my senses. It happened within a minute, you may call it. So I catch hold of them. I said, what are you doing? I just said loudly, but it was rudeness on my part. I caught hold of them. I said, what are you trying to do? Don't you know that he doesn't want you to bow down? Of course, they didn't know. Says, we didn't know, you know. Baba says, don't worry. And he caressed their cheeks and petted them and all that, embraced them and all that. Says, don't bother. Now you have met me, you go. So they were happy and they left. Because they got the physical touch of Baba, the contact and all that. They were happy. So then, of course, when they left, Vishnu locked the door. Vishnu comes close to Baba. And Pukar is seeing all this, eh? Pukar is seeing this. Pukar, who is an observer now in the company of all the followers of Mir Baba. He's the only one stranger there. So he views all this and he says, what sort of a man he is that a person bows down to him and he returns it, takes such great pains and he goes down on the floor, on the ground and bows down and all that. And Now these are the things that come later on to our notice, because he narrated these to me. So, but what his mind is saying at that time, I have to depict that. So he is, his mind says that, well, I have been with leaders, I am myself a leader, and I don't mind anybody paying me great respect. You see, I on the contrary feel happy, and my day is a good day when somebody does that. And I see many political leaders all over the places, and they feel happy about it, being garlanded and this and that, and here is somebody. Yeah, somebody, something we must find out with him. So this is how it has started playing upon his mind, the situation. But when Vishnu came close to Baba, and Baba looks at him and says, you are in new life. You were, isn't it? Yesterday. We have stepped into old life today. But you know the rules. I told you to obey implicitly. I told you to shut the gate. And why did you not shut the gate? In the meantime, these people came in. What stopped you? What prevented you from shutting the gate? So he naturally, innocently tells Baba, Baba, Gustaji was coming and I saw him coming, and so I was trying to call him soon to the place. Gustaji? What has Gustaji to do with my order? I had ordered you to do it. Even if you had seen God coming, so what has that to do with my order to you? Why did you wait? And then he turns to the people and says, how often I have been driving home to you all that I want you to obey me. Nobody seems to pay any, means he's lamenting now on his own, as if he, yeah, a soliloquy you may call it. Yeah, and I'm the interpreter. So nobody pays heed to what I mean by obedience and all that. And then he says, even if I were to tell you to give me a slap, you should do it. Come here, give me a slap now. So that person gets up with all this loudness. So he goes and just does this. Oh, Baba again says, is this the way to obey me? Is this the slap? If you were to give a slap to somebody, do you pat him on the cheek? Is this the way to obey me? All this, Pukar is seeing all this, mind you. We did not know that all this drama, he had called a meeting, a very important meeting. He is stepping into old life for one few hours from his new life, that he would never return to old life, and he has done all this. Why should he do all this? And it seemed as if, but it is so logical that Baba is now emphasizing the fact on obedience and all that. But drama behind this, behind the stage is something different, which we came to know later on. So what happened is that he is lamenting the fact that nobody seems to pay heed to my injunction to obey me implicitly. So he says, he is disgusted with that man. He calls somebody, you come and give me a slap. So the person comes and gives like that. Baba says, is this the slap that a person gives to another one? Is this the way that you all do it? Nobody seems to pay heed anything. You come and give me. And then he calls out one, Meenu Kharas is there from Pakistan. And now this is the third time now. He should do something. And Meenu Kharas, those who know him know. Yeah, what a fanatic he is and obedient. He gave such a tight slap to Baba that turned his head like that. I saw it. What a thunderous slap that was. And Baba says, this is what I mean by obedience to you. This is obedience. And Baba patted him and says, yeah, I'm very happy and pleased with you. Go and sit down. So what happened is now, all this is being witnessed by Pukar. And his mind is in a turmoil. He says, what a leader he is. We pay, give them orders as, and they carry them out, but nobody has taken upon... No leader has taken upon himself to give an example of obedience. And here he is being slapped one after the other. And he's never satisfied till the real slap is there. And that changed his heart immediately. He got up there, the giant of a man, took all his clothes out, including his dhoti and everything, naked, stark naked. A person, you know, like a giant, and just falls at the feet of Baba. This is... Ah, Kunago, absolutely. Yeah, everything. So, then he tells, But they, you know, in northern India or in amongst Indians, they have that langoti always. Yeah, that is there. Yeah. What do you call that? What do you call it? Is there any English word for that langoti?
Loincloth.
Loincloth. No, loincloth is a cloth like a lungi or something like that. Huh?
G-string.
What do you call it?
G-string.
Cheese.
G.
G-string.
G-string. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess the idea is that. Okay.
Yeah, one string and a piece of cloth. Yeah. That's all. Just a little strip of cloth. Mm-hmm. That's all. Yeah, that all Indians have that, you see. So that he was there. So Baba looks at him and says, what is this? He says, body, possessions, mind, everything I surrender. Baba says, I'm happy to hear from you. But you just wear the clothes back. So this is my order, wear them. So he wears them. And he sits quietly. And from that day on, the impact was so great on him that he, instead of being after his life, now he has dedicated his life to Baba. That's the story. Yeah. And soon after that, then, of course, he was on the line at the time. He went from place to place in the district, telling about Baba, telling about his love, telling about him being the ancient one and all that sort of thing. Yeah. He did much work.
But formerly he had even planned to assassinate him.
Assassinate him, yeah.
Even when he was not well and as late at Odima, and there were swollen like that, and, you know, we would advise him, say, no, he just went on.
Yeah. Who, Pukar? Yeah. Pukar would go. He had a heart trouble also because of his huge fatty structure.
You know, when he came to Maine, it was wonderful. People were telling, you know, when he came to Maine, Pukar was invited to Maine to that mela. And then he came, we were in Myrtle Beach, and he came down to Myrtle Beach, but people were saying it was such an experience been taking Pukar down, the highway down from Maine to Myrtle Beach. Because in America, you know, we're not used to these studies and all in these laws. So we have to stop at these truck stops. I don't know if that means anything, but just, you know, the trucker, they're sitting there with their cup of coffee and they're going. Nobody says, good, anybody knows. The waitress, you know, give me five, you know, over easy or something. You know, we all kind of talk. So Pukar, come in and he, a small love about you going and embrace all the people.
So now what happens is that it's not just for that time that this Baba set us an example of obedience for whenever he commanded or gave an order. Of course it was there, and what had happened was that at that time the meeting dispersed after the deliberations were over. He had given that little message, which is, you know, somebody has made it that it's a sermon on the mount and all that sort of thing. You know how it is at Mahabaleshwar?
Baba's sermon, yes.
Yes,
they call
Baba's
it.
Sermon. And mount, because Mahabaleshwar is a mount. So the sermon on the mount in this advent and all that. It's a very beautiful message, no doubt. So all this is there. And of course we again started on a new life. It's a new life. We knew it. And that's the end of our old life, people and all that, nothing. We had no contact, nothing of that sort. But that episode served us best, you see, when later on, after he dropped his body and you all started coming over here, and in the early years when you all came, you all were not, after what Mir Baba said, or what were his discourses, or what did God speak say, he said in God speaks, or anything of that sort. They were after every details of his personal life and what happened and this and that and new life and old life and this. All was there. And in the midst of the topic and talks, one day it so happened that I described them. Well, what happened? How did he come from new life to this place again? So I described him what happened at night prior to that. And in that night, we all know the story about the bird and how Baba wanted us to beat him with our shoes and spit upon him and all that. That story is famous there. So they would ask me the question, says, how did you feel at that time? Didn't you all feel anything to spit on him and to shoe him like that? And at that time, we had never given a thought to it, you see. And I said, no, we never felt anything. Never felt anything? He said, no. Then, all of a sudden it struck me, why we didn't feel anything? Because the lesson that he had taught us of implicit obedience on that day in new life itself. He wanted it, so he had it. Yeah. Who are we to question him and why we should do it? On the contrary, we felt happy for having shooed him because he felt happy and relieved because of his, well, cruelty to the bird. He said, ah, now I'm relieved of the burden. Now to top it all, spit on me. And then we spat on him and says, now I'm very happy. And because he was happy, we were happy, that's all. And people, when we narrate them, they say, what sort of people you are to be happy like that? You see, this is what I'm saying. What is the difference, you see? Yeah. Anything that gives him happiness, anything that, what you call, caters to his pleasure, is a pleasure to us, is our happiness, that's all. Yeah.